Chapter 6, The Agents of Revolution. The pantheistic divinization of human nature, which is, as we have seen, the soul of the revolution, and which found expression in the Declaration of the Rights of Man, has been steadily propagated since 1789 by the same agencies that gave it birth, Freemasonry and its vassal societies. Pope Leo XIII writes, quote, "There are several organized bodies which, though differing in name, in ceremonial, in form, and origin, are nevertheless so bound together by community of purpose and by the similarity of their main opinions as to form, in fact, one thing with the sect of the Masons, which is a kind of center whence they all issue and whither they all return." End of quote. The object towards which all these societies are being moved is the complete overthrow of the order of the world founded upon the supernatural life of the mystical body of our Lord, Redeemer of our fallen race. That order comprises 1, the Catholic Church, supernatural and supranational, but yet perfectly respectful of national characteristics and capable of harmoniously developing them on condition that the nations acknowledge their indirect subordination thereto. 2, the different states and nations, embodiments of the concept of native land, acknowledging the indirect power of the Catholic Church. 3, the family, founded upon the unity and indissolubility of the marriage contract, which was raised to the dignity of a sacrament by our Lord Jesus Christ. 4, the personality of every human being, to be developed by Catholic education in imitation of our Lord crucified, with the right to the acquisition of private property. In working for the overthrow of this order, Freemasonry and other secret societies are the instruments of forces, visible and invisible. Let us say a few words about them in turn. Satan. In order to have a view of the world struggle as a whole, we must not forget that behind all the visible forces ranged against the mystical body of our Lord are to be found Satan and his satellites. Satan knows well that the result of his efforts will be an earthly replica of the state of the demons and the damned souls in hell. Each demon and each lost soul declares itself independent of all, even of God. Each one is his own end, his own God, his all. If the damned drew up a constitution, the first article would be, "All the damned are free and independent and refuse all subjection to the divine order of the world." Satan, therefore, is behind the whole modern movement of secret societies and revolutionary societies, ever spurring men on to revolt with the whispered temptation, "Ye shall be like gods, knowing good and evil." St. Thomas strikingly portrays the significance of the suggestion. The angelic doctor writes, quote, "Accordingly, while both, namely the devil and the first man, coveted God's likeness inordinately, neither of them sinned by coveting a likeness or similitude in nature. But the first man sinned chiefly by coveting resemblance with God, as regards knowledge of good and evil, according to the serpent's instigation, namely that, by his own natural power, he might decide what was good and what was evil for him to do, or again, that he should of himself foreknow what good and what evil would befall him. Secondarily, he sinned by coveting God's likeness as regards his own power of operation, namely, that by his own natural power, he might so act as to obtain happiness." Hence, Augustine says that the woman's mind was filled with love of her own power. On the other hand, the devil sinned by coveting God's likeness as regards power. Wherefore, Augustine says that he wished to enjoy his own power rather than God's. Nevertheless, both desired in some way to be equal to God, insofar as each wished to rely on himself in contempt of the order of the divine rule. End of quote. Instead of consenting to have his activities of intellect and will divinized along the lines laid down by God, man hearkened to Satan's plea for false liberty and aimed at being the equal of God in his own way. The result was, of course, frightful disorder in his own being and, at the same time, subjection to the headship of Satan. St. Thomas contrasts the headship of Satan over evil men with our Lord's headship of the mystical body. To give a fuller idea of the real struggle that is being waged in the universe, primarily between invisible forces and secondarily in the visible world, a few extracts from St. Thomas will be quoted. Quote, "The head not only acts interiorly on the members of the body, but also guides them exteriorly, directing their acts to an end. Accordingly, a person can be said to be the head of a body of men, either in both these ways, and thus Christ is head of the church, as has been said in the preceding article, or only with regard to exterior guidance, and in this matter, any prelate or prince is head of the group subject to him. It is in this latter fashion that the devil is head of all evil men. Now to the ruler it belongs to lead those he governs to his own end. The end at which the devil aims is the revolt of the rational creature from God. Hence, from the beginning, he tried to get man to break away from obedience to the divine precept. This revolt from God is conceived as an end inasmuch as it is desired under pretext of liberty. Inasmuch, therefore, as men are drawn to this end by sinning, they come under the government and direction of the evil one, and he is accordingly styled their head." End of quote.